thanks for downloading this podcast from RNIB Connect Radio. On RNIB Connect Radio.
Hey, you're listening to the Happy Hour podcast, a trimmed down version of our hour-long show. If you're enjoying all the songs, along with the interviews, tips and chat, just catch the full show on RNIB Connect Radio. We're on every Monday at 1 p.m. with a repeat Thursday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. But for now, enjoy the Happy Hour podcast. Cyndi Lauper on RNIB Connect Radio, kicking off today's Happy Hour. Holly Tuke here, keeping you company over the next little while together with Paulina. We have some great music for you today and, of course, lots of ideas for keeping happy.
Yes, we'll be joined today by the one and only Dr. Ranj Singh, as he will chat about his latest book, all about the power of our brains and how we can learn to love ourselves as well by looking after our brain. And we'll hear all about a canoeing opportunity for blind and partially sighted people.
And next up, Paulina finds out about a charity that offers free mental health support via text messages.
So lots to come on the Happy Hour today, including some cracking tunes like this one. It's the Kaiser Chiefs. Shout. It's a free, confidential, 24/7 text messaging support service for anyone who is struggling to cope. And joining me today to tell us a little bit more about Shout and what they do and how the service works exactly is Sarah McCubbin, clinical supervisor and designated safeguarding lead at Shout. It is lovely having you on the Happy Hour again, Sarah.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So, let's talk about Shout. It's not only quite a unique service, it's also quite a fairly new one.
Yeah, so Shout was set up in 2017 with the support of the Royal Foundation following the Heads Together campaign, which identified the potential that we could use digital tools in offering support for people around their mental health. So people can talk to us at Shout by texting the word SHOUT to the number 85258, where they can speak to one of our highly trained and empathetic volunteers any time of day or the night.
And you mentioned the volunteers. Obviously, it must take quite a lot of people working on the service when you're available pretty much 24/7.
Yeah, we have, I think it's over 2,000 active volunteers with ourselves. They go through some comprehensive training to become a volunteer, and they take the conversations from our texters. When someone texts in, the volunteer responds back and forth to that person until the person texting in has reached a position of a cooler calm than when they first might reach out.
So how do you find the service has managed throughout the last couple of years? Because I feel like during the pandemic, we've seen a raise in people feeling anxious, feeling stress, depression, anxiety, all of these symptoms and responses to the pandemic. Have you seen a large number of people getting in touch?
Yes, we have. We've had a steady increase since the service began, and we've supported 470,000 children, young people and adults across the UK since the Shout began. And that totals around 1.3 million conversations with people that are experiencing distress or concerns around their mental health. Now, the most common issues that people contact Shout about are suicide, depression and anxiety, a number of different topics as well. They might talk to us about loneliness, relationships, self-harm, and we work with them in a similar way. So when somebody texts in, they start the conversation with the word Shout, like I said before. They're connected with a volunteer. They get four automated messages first whilst we establish that connection with one of our empathic volunteers. It usually takes around 5 minutes, but that can take a little longer sometimes. And the volunteer will introduce themselves to and ask the texter to share a bit more about what's bothering them at that moment. Like I said before, that can be around people feeling anxious. It might be relationship problems or addiction, depression, bullying, self-harm, suicidal thoughts. But there'll be a text message conversation back and forth with the volunteer to share about how the texter's feeling.
Do you think a service like that actually has, I guess, some advantage over a phone-in service? Do you think it helps? Because it's quite a hard thing to decide to talk with someone, and maybe having this conversation via text feels a little bit less daunting.
Yes, we hear from a lot of people that text in to shout that they've never accessed any kind of mental health service or support before, but that some of those barriers felt like they weren't present with a text message service, because people can remain entirely anonymous. They can share with us what they feel comfortable sharing, and they don't have to use their voice to express themselves. It really is a choice when they start that conversation by text message. It will only ever be by text message. It doesn't ever involve a phone call or anything beyond those texts. And they can choose to opt out as well. So people often say to us they like to be in control of the interactions with us, because if it was a therapy session or a presentation at hospital about how they were feeling, you're kind of in that session or that meeting or appointment until it concludes. Whereas with Shout, people can text the word stop when they've decided that they've gained what they like, what they hoped for out of the conversation. They can text stop. And so they remain in control of what they share, how long the conversation lasts, and that kind of thing.
So in a way, it makes it a bit more comfortable and I guess less stress-inducing, which is not what you want when you're trying to get help. Now, I'm a bit curious because there's one very interesting thing about your service, which is it doesn't show up on your phone bill. Why is that?
I guess it feeds into the anonymity. People can choose to access Shout as a service and nobody in their life needs to know that that has happened. So they can reach out and talk to us and nobody, whether they had access to their phone bill or not, would have any knowledge of that. It's really key. If people aren't ready to share with those around them, it just means we reinforce that by them not being found out, I guess.
You're just letting them go at their own pace without forcing anything that they're not ready for, even if when it comes to letting their family or friends know because they're not quite ready for it.
Exactly. And we're very much about empowerment. So we're not suggesting to people to cope alone, but everybody has the right to be in charge of their own destiny, I guess. And when they're ready to talk to somebody, we'll support them with that. But if they're not ready at that moment, then we're there for them. So they've got somebody to talk to.
And when you're feeling really low, sometimes having that, just that little bit of control can really make such a difference as well.
Absolutely, yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Now, you've mentioned that people reach out for a number of reasons, and some of them are obviously quite tough situations. What happens when you're speaking with someone who is potentially a risk to themselves? Do you have any safeguarding in place?
Yeah, so we have sort of two strands around managing safeguarding and risk concerns. So we have a confidentiality threshold around which things we can keep confidential between ourselves and the texter and which things we would need to pass on. But the first thing I should say is that Shout is a safe place to talk about feeling suicidal, even perhaps being a risk to ourselves. That's still an okay conversation to have. The only time we would need to share that information is if we can't reach a safety plan and the risk is immediate. So in which case we do work closely with emergency services and social services if help is needed. But the ultimate aim of the conversation is to support people to be safe and to keep safe. So if there's immediate risk to life, then we would pass it on to emergency services. And also if we have safeguarding concerns around children and young people or adults who we identify as being at risk of harm, then they're the instances in which we might need to share information with somebody else. But that happens in I think it's 1% of our conversations. Most of the time we're able to reach that cooler calm, like I suggested earlier.
So Sarah, for anyone who is listening to this and they feel like your service sounds quite interesting, but maybe they're a little bit reluctant about reaching out, what would you say to them?
I would say that Shout is there for everybody. We have people that are 8 years old up to 80 something year old texters. We have people that reach out to us and genuinely feel a sense of relief when they've talked to somebody. Perhaps that's for the first time or the 10th time, but being able to share our worries and concerns, we know that can alleviate some of the stress and anxiety that people might be feeling. Now, we know that it can be hard to talk to somebody for the first time, but our volunteers are truly amazing and they will help to put people at ease when they're talking. We're transparent. We'll talk about what we might need to do if we need to do anything with the information. We're there to support people in whatever they're going through in their lives.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Would you mind giving us the details for that text number again, and as well maybe your website if we wanted to find out a little bit more?
Sure. You can start a conversation by texting the word SHOUT, so S-H-O-U-T, to the number 85258. You'll then receive a few automated messages back, and then a volunteer will introduce themselves, and that's where the conversation really starts. We have a website where you can find out some more information on www.giveusashout.org.
Fantastic, Sarah. Thank you so much for sharing the work of Shout with us today on the Happy Hour.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
A couple of hits from the early 2000s, we had Kaiser Chiefs first with Ruby, and then Avril Lavigne with her 2002 hit Complicated. What a fantastic track, that one.
And you know what's another fantastic track, and we have been talking about it actually off air, which is the new one from Queen Bee. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, this was a huge surprise. I didn't know anything about it until I heard it on the radio the other day, and I was thinking, oh, this is Beyonce. And you know what? I've heard it a few times since, and it's actually growing on me. It feels like such a summery tune. I don't know about you.
It sounds very different, but I feel like it's kind of in line with what we are getting with summer tracks these days, because we had, there's that remix of the Bob Marley song as well, and it has lots of kind of like club summer club vibes. I feel like that's a really good way to describe it.
Yeah, and there's so many as well that are sampling tracks from the 90s and other eras. I think there's a few songs coming back, which is really interesting how they're making their debut again in today's pop music. It's exciting, and especially I think they make the summer tracks so different.
Oh yeah, because the big one this summer is the Kate Bush song that was used by Stranger Things in the show.
Yeah, that's literally everywhere, isn't it? And yeah, it's number one in the charts, which is after, I think it's 37 years or something like that, which is so wild to think about.
Oh, it's amazing. I always love that track, and it's kind of nice seeing people being introduced to it, because I am a little bit older than you. Have you heard it before? Or is that was this like your first introduction to it?
No, I had heard it before, but one thing I've seen on social media, a lot of people saying it's nice how younger generations are coming across that song now and other music from say the 80s, and they're just really getting into it. So maybe it's the start of something, who knows.
I mean, we had a lot of like 80s influences lately, and I feel like we're kind of heading into the 90s now, so maybe especially with the fashion. I don't think I want to revisit the 90s or early 2000s, but apparently that's what the kids are liking these days.
Yeah, we've got to be down with the kids.
Absolutely not. I'll leave that to you. You're the more fashionable one here.
No, thanks, but I do not feel fashionable, but hey-ho, I try. Make an effort, at least.
Yeah. If you ever want any fashion tips from us, you know, drop us a line. It's radio@rnib.org.uk. We can cover anything here on the Happy Hour. Everything's open. Just let us know.
Absolutely. And next up, our Alan Russell will be finding out about canoeing.
We are talking sports, and we always encourage blind and partially sighted people to get involved in all types of sport and leisure activities. There's all sorts of benefits, and more clubs are making their events and services more accessible as well. Now, today we are heading to the Tower Hamlets Canoe Club. We've got Alex and Richard with us. Alex, I'll come to you first of all. Tell us a little bit about the club.
We're based about a mile from Tower Bridge. We're right next to the River Thames, but we also have Shadwell Basin. It's a large body of water. And we do a lot of kayaking and canoeing there on Tuesday evenings. And we also go on all sorts of trips outside London to the sea, to Wales, to Scotland, whitewater rapids, even sometimes abroad. Any waterways we can find that we can paddle on.
And you take people from absolute beginners then?
Absolute beginners. We've got beginners courses going regularly sort of throughout the year. I think they're most popular in the summer. And I suppose the main thing about the club is all the coaching that you get at the club is just from the members themselves, and it's all free. So what that basically means is that as people sort of rise up in the club, they do coaching qualifications, and then they just put on courses basically for people, all sorts of different levels, and it all costs nothing.
The reason we're chatting with you today to learn a bit about the club, but also the fact that you have been encouraging blind and partially sighted participants, people to get involved as well.
We've set up a programme specifically for them and hoping to integrate them more into the club, going on more trips and getting the same sort of opportunities that everyone else at the club gets, basically. So, yeah, we started on March the 15th and we've had 8 participants so far. And, yeah, we hope to have some more new participants later on in the summer, possibly 8 more.
Also joining us, we have Richard. How did you get involved in canoeing?
I saw it actually advertised on the RNIB Connect London. And I only lost my sight 3 years ago. So I'm just picking things up again. I used to canoe 30 odd years ago. I used to do a lot of sea canoeing and surf canoeing and things like that. And then I kind of stopped. And obviously after 30 years, I'm a little bit rusty. In fact, I'm very rusty. And I need to pick up those skills again. I saw it advertised. I thought, that's just the thing I need. And so I went across to the club, and over the past, well, officially it's a 4-week course, but Alex has kindly progressed on that. He's training volunteers who can partner us when we want to go out canoeing past the 4 weeks. So We've spent 4 weeks doing the basic skills, and said we've got coming up the capsize training, the towing and things like that. And this is where Alex has done very well. It doesn't just stop after 4 weeks. So you build and build and build your skills.
What's so good about canoeing? What brought you back to it after losing your sight?
Well, I used to enjoy canoeing when I was younger, and I used to fish off a canoe as well. I'd been planning on canoeing down the Thames, and that's essentially what brought me back to hone my skills a little bit, or get rid of the bad habits that I acquired years ago and just update myself. And also, in summary, it's a lovely thing to be out in the water. It's very peaceful. It's very good exercise. The people at the boating house are brilliant. And it's an all-round good atmosphere, which is not just beneficially physically wise, but it's also a very beneficial mentally as well. It's good to get out there and do something and mix with other people.
Alex, Richard's obviously a fan of canoeing. You know, he's got that history as well. What's the feedback been like from other visually impaired people who've come along and had a go, as it were?
It's been very successful so far. Yeah, everyone seems to have really, really enjoyed it and is very keen to keep coming back. There's a certain dropout rate that we get from people, you know, who come along and do courses and stuff. Maybe they do 4 weeks and they drop out, but we're not really getting anyone drop out on this course. It's more like a year's program. So people have really enjoyed it so far and keep coming back, basically.
Richard, what's it like then out there on the canoe if you have a visual impairment? Because, you know, you're there, you've got your paddles, you're maybe trying to follow a group. Is it still something which can be really accessible?
I have glaucoma, so it's a jigsaw with 80% of the pieces missing. So I can see some bits and other bits are big blank patches. But with a few adjustments like lights and brightly coloured buoyancy aids, I mean, we're always out with someone and we're not out there by ourselves.
So whenever we go on trips, any trips at all, it's very much a group thing, that there's someone leading the group, you'll all get to know each other, you'll all know each other's names, and you'll all help each other out in all sorts of different ways, even just the basic stuff of all help transporting boats, and you know, you won't leave anyone behind, anything like that on a trip. Everyone has to come back safely. So you will very much operate as a group. So what I'm saying is we're always all helping each other out anyway. So helping someone out a bit more, like with guiding, for instance, to get to the boat or get into the boat, isn't that big a deal.
Is Tower Hamlets Club then quite unique in that respect? I mean, could you see other clubs doing what you've done and, you know, encouraging more blind and partially sighted people to get involved?
That's what I'm trying to do. I'm working with British Canoeing and the Port of London Authority and possibly other organisations like British Blind Sport to try to spread the programme. So when I came up with the idea for the programme in about September last year, what I immediately did was I tried looking around the UK, you know, using the internet to see if anyone else had a similar programme. So I thought, oh, there must be another one like it, not just days out for visually impaired people, which are all well and good, but they're not the same thing as a regular programme where you can keep coming back and learning more and progressing. And I couldn't find one. I just could not find anyone who was offering anything like this. But we're hoping to change that and use this programme as maybe a bit of a success story and hopefully one that other clubs in London and around the UK might like to copy.
Can people learn more about the Tower Hamlets Club, Alex?
Look it up online with Tower Hamlets Canoe Club, and you can just Google that. We've got a wiki page. We've got a committee as well that you can email. It's committee@towerhamletscanoeclub.co.uk.
Alex, we do hope more people do get involved. Let's hope we can see clubs like Tower Hamlets around the UK and beyond. And Richard, good luck with the Thames Challenge when you get there. And thanks to both of you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Alan Russell there. And shortly, we'll be joined by Dr. Ranj Singh on the Happy Hour.
Come on, hold my hand. I want to contact the living. Not sure I understand.
Robbie Williams on today's Happy Hour with Holly and Paulina. Now, Paulina, you often have an interesting story or a random fact for us. So have you seen anything in the news lately that maybe I haven't come across and you want to share with us?
Well, I certainly have found something quite interesting. It's a random story of today's Happy Hour, and I have a feeling you've not heard of this one. So have you ever heard of a particular type of race? The race is called a man versus horse.
No, I haven't heard of this.
So the race is literally what the name says, man versus horse. Fortunately, the horses are not just free running. They do have riders. They have different routes. So you do have I imagine, slightly longer one for the horses. But this race has been going on since 1980. And this year, a gentleman became the third person. The person, we're talking a person, to win against other people and the horses. His name is Ricky Lightfoot as well, which I think is super fitting.
What a great name for that. I just love that. But could you imagine? I mean, that is just
really random.
Some kind of achievement, isn't it? A random achievement, but impressive.
Yeah, so apparently he's beaten over 1,000 runners and 50 horses. His time was, I think, 2 hours, 22 minutes, 23 seconds. So lots of twos there. But the interesting thing is as well, he's been awake for 29 hours prior to the event because he just flew in to claim the victory. So he was quite tired, and yet he still managed to win. So there we go.
He clearly has a good metabolism, and I could not stay awake for that long, especially to compete as well.
No, absolutely not.
Hats off to him. Yeah. Could you imagine a Holly and Paulina versus horse race?
Absolutely not. I'm sure we would lose. But there we go. He had lots of perseverance there. And speaking of perseverance, well, we will be learning a little bit about brain power, not just leg power. So Holly, what is coming up? It's the big one.
Yeah, it's time to get a bit booky and also find out a bit more about how the power of our brain and how looking after our brain can help support our mental health. With more on this, here's Robert Kirkwood chatting with Dr. Range.
Why do some skills come to us more easily than others? How do you cope with knockbacks and deal with challenges? Why do we feel certain emotions? And how do we manage the difficult ones? How do we keep our brains in top condition for learning? In his new book, Brain Power, Dr. Range is here to inspire all young readers to love themselves, however their brains work. Dr. Range Singh is an NHS paediatrician and one of the resident doctors on ITV's This Morning. He can also be found on BBC's Morning Live, The One Show, and on ITV's Save Money, Lose Weight, Save Money, Good Health, and Dr. Range On Call. He'll join me in a moment, but first let's hear a clip of the book read by Dr. Range himself.
In 1649, a French philosopher called René Descartes came up with the idea that while your brain controls your body, your mind is something separate. Not literally separate. He didn't mean it was hanging out of the back of your head, but he meant separate in the sense that your mind seems to be bigger than your brain. Your mind somehow takes up your whole being. Brains are the future. All of these discoveries have taught us about how amazing your brain and mind are. So much so that scientists have been trying to recreate what the human brain does in machine form. Have you heard of something called artificial intelligence, or AI? Imagine it's the 1940s during the Second World War, when the Nazis of Germany were fighting against lots of other countries. The Nazis would communicate secretly using a special code made by a machine called Enigma. However, an amazing British mathematician called Alan Turing invented a computer which cracked that code, and that breakthrough helped win the war. Yes, Alan Turing is probably the most awesome Alan in history. He changed history a second time when he wrote about the possibility of creating machines that think like humans. And his initial insights eventually led to the creation of artificial intelligence, computers that think a bit like human brains do. But your brain is much more complex and much more powerful than the world's best supercomputer. No machine currently exists that can do everything your brain does. Artificial intelligence is getting more sophisticated every day, though. If you've ever used Siri, Alexa, or Google Assistant, then you've been using something that is based on artificial intelligence. Who knows what AI will be able to do in the future?
Brain Power is the ultimate brain training / learning and mental well-being guide for kids. It's aimed at children aged 7 and up, and it's full of just fascinating facts about your brain and how it works and how different people's brains work differently, but also how to look after it, how to get better at learning, how to find out the kind of intelligence and learning type that you have and build on that. And also there's a huge section on looking after your mental well-being, practical advice of things you can do to look after yourself, but also things to look out for when it might not be going to plan, and encourages people to seek help when they're really, really in trouble. So yeah, so it's kind of like a little help kids back up, back on track after the pandemic guide.
Why am I so clued up about brains? I've been a doctor for 20 years, and that means I know a little about how the brain works and how to help when things don't quite go to plan. However, I started learning about the brain properly when I went to university. I even did a project where I spent a lot of time cutting up rats' brains. Yuck! Now, as a doctor who treats children and young people, I look after people whose brains may be hurt or not working properly. I also care for people who are struggling with their mental health.
There was one thing that really came across, that you're hammering home the message that we all think in very different ways.
Yes. So we talk about intelligence, for instance, in the book, and we talk about how there are 9 different types of intelligence. And some people are naturally better at bookwork, but some people are better at art and creative things. Some people are musically minded. Some people are amazing at dance. Some people are amazing at social skills and understanding people and getting on with people. And one person can have different types of intelligence, but it's to, I suppose, bring home the point that intelligence isn't just about facts and figures and knowledge. It's about so much more than that. And it's about finding the type of intelligence that you are naturally born with and the gifts that you have and building on those and making those incredible and using them to your advantage, because we've all got them. No matter how our brains work or who we are, we've all got these strengths that we just, if we find them, we can make the most of them.
And that's why IQ tests have kind of fallen out of favour, because they only measure one type of intelligence.
Exactly. IQ tests were developed a long time ago. There's a long history that we talk about in the book about them. And they were used as a measure of intelligence, but they only look at very specific things. And actually, what we now know and we now understand, and I'm glad that we accept, is that different people's brains work differently and we can have different kinds of intelligence. And just because you may not be good at a test doesn't mean you aren't amazing at something else. And that's one of the messages I'm trying to get through in the book, is that no matter who you are as a young person or what you're born with or how you're born and what your background might be, you have strengths, you have skills that you can use and build on and be just as amazing as anybody else.
Now, you mentioned the pandemic. Do you think that affected mental health, and it's now quite an important time for the book?
Yeah, that's kind of where the book was born from. I was thinking, you know, young people and children who I look after in my medical profession, they've been affected so significantly by the pandemic. Their learning has been affected, their education and their mental well-being. And I wanted to sort of write something, a guide, a helping hand that would get them back on track. So this book, Brain Power, is full of not just facts and figures about how wonderful and amazing our brains are and how they work, but actual practical tips and exercises to build your brain power, to get better at learning, to get quicker and faster at things like maths and lots of other funny activities that we do. But also looking after your mental well-being. So looking, building your resilience, looking after yourself, taking time out and thinking about your thoughts and feelings. And above all, asking for help when you're in trouble.
And you also touch on special needs and learning and autism and dyslexia. Yes. It's important to touch on all these facts because, as you say, we all think in different ways and some people may need additional help.
Absolutely. I wanted this book to speak to everybody, no matter who they were or what they were born with or what their abilities might be. I wanted to explain also to everybody else about neurodiversity and about different people's brains and different people's needs and how we all need to understand each other, but also recognize that each one of us is unique and has unique abilities and strengths. So we've got these fascinating insights from neurodiverse young people. We've got an amazing sort of mini essay from an autistic person. We've got some thoughts from somebody who's got ADHD. I talk a lot about dyslexia in the book, and the book is written in a dyslexia-friendly format to make it easier for people with dyslexia to get on board and to engage with it, because they can find things tricky. But also we talk about certain medical conditions that impact your brain and how that may make things work differently. For instance, cerebral palsy or epilepsy. And I've got great examples of people whose brains work in different ways, but they've been and done amazing things. So the guy that invented Pokemon, for instance, is autistic. And the whole idea came from his love and fascination of insects. I would talk about one of my all-time heroes, Rosie Jones, who's got cerebral palsy. And she is one of the best and most successful comedians on TV right now. And no one would have expected that from her. But it's to show kids and young people that no matter who you are, you can be amazing. And I'm going to give you some tips and tricks and hopefully some inspiration in how to do that.
And we are on the radio station of RNIB, and there have been some fascinating studies about how brains in people who were born without sight are different from people who perhaps have lost their sight later in life.
Yes, yes, it's a fascinating area of research, actually. So the thing about people who have difficulty seeing, difficulty with their vision, or are born blind, is that there's two things that could be affected. It could be your eyes or it could be your brain itself. And when we look at the brain itself, you may see evidence of why you've got blindness there. For instance, if you've had an event that's happened when you're inside the womb, for instance, or just around the time that you were born, like a stroke or damage to the brain, you may see evidence of that. But the other thing that we know is that people who are born blind or born with difficulties with vision, some of their other senses get heightened, particularly their hearing, for instance, let's say. And the reasoning behind that isn't just because you are then focusing on that sense. It's your brain rewires itself to make that sense more sensitive. So when you look at the area that processes hearing in people who are born blind, you'll see that it's much greater developed and it functions in a much better way than people who aren't. And that's why they are so good. That's why their senses are so, their other senses are so good. For instance, hearing is because their brains adapt. And we see the same adaptation happening in people that lose their sight later in life as well. That can happen. And it's a fascinating insight into how our brains are malleable. They change and they adapt depending on what our needs are.
Now, talking of sight loss, you narrated the audio version of Brain Power. How was that?
I was really, really keen on doing an audiobook version because I wanted this to be accessible to everybody. So I know that some young people enjoy books by audio better and others need audiobooks depending on what their needs and abilities might be. So I really, really wanted to do this and I'm proud of doing it. It's a completely different kettle of fish to writing it because when you write a book and you read it, you get a sense of a person's voice and their personality. But when you speak it, when you create an audiobook, you really have to put your energy and emotion into it. And I think it gives you a whole other experience, actually, because you're hearing it from the horse's mouth, as it were, and you're hearing the little nuances and the feeling and the emotion behind it. You get that right from the author. And I don't think there's anything else quite like that.
Do you like audiobooks yourself?
I do. Do you know what? I find sometimes it's easier to engage with a book via audiobook because it means that I can be on the move and on the go and have it in my ears. So I can do it as well as doing something, or I can be in the car and have the audiobook on. I find sometimes it means that I can read more, ironically, by listening to it rather than taking the time to sit down and physically read a book because I don't always have time to do that.
Brain Power, a toolkit to understand and train your unique brain, is out now, available in print and in audio. Just before you go, give us one tip to keep our brain in top condition.
Ooh, one tip to keep your brain in top condition is exercise. Not exercising your body, I'm talking about exercising your brain. Do activities that keep it active. So things like not just reading and writing and maths and stuff like that, not your traditional learning. I'm talking about crosswords, puzzles, jigsaws, art and creative activities, being sociable, being friendly. All of these things keep your brain active. And that's hugely important all the way into old age.
We all know that being healthy and looking after your body is important. That's what we call physical health. But what about your mind? Well, looking after your brain and mind is just as important, so they can work correctly and we can live happy lives. That's what we mean by mental health. It's about how you feel and deal with all the things in the world. I've had times when my own mental health hasn't been great and I got through it. It wasn't always easy, but I'm in a much better place now and I'm here to tell you all about it. I want you to remember that however you feel or whatever is happening in your life, you're never alone. And there is always someone to help if you're finding things tough.
Brain Power by Dr. Range, a toolkit to understand and train your unique brain, is available in print and audio now. And Dr. Range, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Brain exercises, love it. Now, unfortunately, that conversation between Robert and Dr. Range brought us to the end of today's show. If you missed any of the interviews and would like to catch up on the previous episode, then give us a follow on our podcast. Just search for RNIB Happy Hour Podcast online.
Now it is time for our final segment, and it's of course our music therapy moment. And we will have one of our previous guests returning to share a song that means a lot to them.
Remember, you can also share a song that means a lot to you with us. Just drop us a line on radio@rnib.org.uk. Now it's bye from us. And we're leaving you with Sarah for our music therapy moment.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi everyone, it's Sarah again from Shout. I'd like to introduce the track Anyone For You by George Ezra, because it never fails to lift me up and make me smile. It reminds me of spending time with family and creating good memories.
You are listening to the Happy Hour podcast, a trimmed down version of our hour-long show. If you've enjoyed the songs and would like to hear them in full, along with all the interviews, tips and chat, just catch the full show on RNIB Connect Radio. We're on every Monday at 1 p.m. with a repeat Thursday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. But for now, thank you for listening to the Happy Hour podcast.
For more downloads like these, visit rnibconnectradio.org.uk/podcasts.